Well, let's pray. Well, Father, we just thank you for the hope that we have in Jesus, that no matter what we're going through, we have hope. Hope that you are with us. Hope that you'll sustain us. Hope that we can hold your hand and walk through all those challenges. And so we pray. We pray for our church. We pray for individuals who may be going through that. God, we want to be a place of refuge, a place of hope, a place of encouragement, a place that we don't just tell you what you need to do, but we come and walk beside you, and we love you, and we pray for one another and encourage one another and lift each other up when we're struggling. And we pray for that to happen. God, we also, I just want to lift up many of, we have a lot of people who aren't here today, and we just pray for those who are sick. We pray for the Trost and the Giamanis and the Careys, and I'm sure I'm leaving people out. A lot of people just facing the challenges of being sick and the fear that it may be COVID or other things. God, we just pray that as we're sick or as people quarantine, that we would trust you. And we pray for healing, pray for all those families, that there be healing in their bodies. We pray that you sustain them, keep them strong. And most of all, God, as a church, we don't simply pray for safety. We don't simply pray for healing. God, we pray for the gospel to go forward. We pray that we could share why we have hope in the midst of suffering, why we have hope in the midst of sickness, why we have hope in the midst of loss, God. It's because of Jesus and what he's done for us. And so, God, I just pray that as we go through these things, we wouldn't just point to other stuff as the solution, but we would point to Jesus and the hope that we have in him. Help us to rest in him in everything. Help us as a church. Help us to not be silent. Help us to not be absent, God. Help us to move towards those who need help. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, normally at this time, what do we do, guys? We go upstairs. But what are we doing today? You're staying down here. Why? Because it's fun. Perfect answer. Perfect answer. It is fun. And it's the fifth Sunday of the month. So a while back, we decided on the fifth Sundays of the month, we are going to give our volunteers a break. And we're just going to do kind of family style worship is what we call it, where we just have all the kids in here. We do have the nursery open. So kids that are under four can go to nursery. So if you want to take them back, you can. But everybody else, we're going to stay in here and we're going to do the lesson together. Right? Right? Am I right? All right. So I'm going to need some help at different points. I'm going to need some of my friends, little friends, big friends, everybody, to help me with the message a little bit today. All right? You guys got me? Sure. Sure. Oh, all right. We'll see. We'll see what happens. So what we're talking about today is courage for the unknown. Courage for the unknown. I thought it was so neat that Kelly shared that verse. It said, take heart, for I've overcome the world. You know, same word in Acts is used. Take heart. Be courageous. We need courage, right? Anybody need courage? You know, sometimes life gets kind of scary. I think we have a definition of courage. Courage is the ability and strength to act when threatened with danger, fear, or difficulty. Anybody need courage? Has anybody had something that seemed scary that you needed to be courageous in? Anybody? Any something that you were scared of that you needed courage? Colt? You got something? No? I think there might be some courage needed for the microphone. Anybody have something? What's that?
Going down a water slide.
Going down, you went down a water slide. Was it scary? Did you almost not go down? Yeah. Deacon has something.
Going down into an underground house with spiky floor that might kill you.
Spiky floors in the underground of a house?
Yeah.
And did you go down?
No.
No way. It was too scary, right? Anybody else have something that was scary that you had to have courage for? Now all the hands are going up. Cooper, do you have something? No. Colt, do you have yours?
Going down a roller coaster.
My first time mountain biking.
Your first time mountain biking. Yeah, you get out there and you're going to go mountain biking and there's big hills. You know, it's kind of like a roller coaster. You know, Miss Amanda loves roller coasters and they scare me to death. And we're going up those big hills and I start, you know, we get to the top and you look and you're like, we're going to go straight into the ground. We'll do one more back here. Laurel, do you have one?
Fires?
You scared of fires? Have you been in a fire before? No, but you could, you know? So there's all these things that sometimes we go through life, you know, sometimes it can be a fire. Sometimes it can be a roller coaster. You know, maybe sometimes it can be you're going to church for the first time. Maybe you walk in, you don't know anybody. Big kids, what are some things that we get scared of? Come on, Bobby. Anything that you get scared of? Doing the wrong thing when your wife's around. Yes. Any other big kids? Amanda? Speaking in front of people. Yes, yes. You get scared, but you did it. You were courageous and you did it. And you know what? There are times in life where God calls us to do things that seem scary. And when we're confronted with that, we've got to be courageous, right? We can't just be scared. You can't just stay home. Sometimes you're scared to go out. Anybody had that this last year? Where it's scary to go outside. It's scary to go to school. Maybe you see somebody and you get scared. You're like, man, he might make me sick. Let me get away. You get scared. There's going to be different things in life that God calls us to do, and we are going to have courage. So we're looking at that in Acts today. We have a verse. Acts 23:11. This is what Jesus told Paul. He said, take courage. As you have testified about me in Jerusalem, so you must also testify about me in Rome. We've been reading about Paul and his life and him testifying before others, and it was pretty scary. His life was at stake, and he's testified before others. He shared. He was bold. He was courageous. And now Jesus tells him, just as you've done that in Jerusalem, you're going to do it in Rome. And so we are going to be reading about Paul going to Rome. I think we have a map of that. All right, here's our map. Next one, there's a star. This is Jerusalem. See the star? You see the star down there in the bottom right corner? That's Jerusalem. And now the next slide, top left, that's Rome. Anybody want to take a canoe across that? You know how far that is? It's more than a 15-day trip. It's like 1,200 miles. And so they're going to use a boat to get there. And so we're going to read about what happens. And if there's something, as we read this story, if you hear something that's scary, I want you to remember it. Because I'm going to come back and ask you. We're going to see if there was anything scary that happened or what we think may be the most scary part. Does that sound good? Can you guys remember to remember what was scary? Can you do that? All right. And we're going to see if maybe you think God's word will encourage us for when we're scared. You think it'll encourage us for when we need to be brave? Maybe? 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 All right. There we go. I'm getting a little better. All right. So I'm going to read, and we've got some pictures on the screen for you kids to kind of follow along with. So we're going to start reading. This is Acts chapter 27, and it's verse 1. And when it was decided that we should sail for Italy, they delivered Paul and some other prisoners to a centurion of the Augustan cohort named Julius. And embarking in a ship which was about to sail to the ports along the coast of Asia, we put to sea. The next day we put in, Julius treated Paul kindly and gave him leave to go to his friends and be cared for. And putting out to sea from there, we sailed under the lee of Cyprus, because the winds were against us. And when we had sailed across the open sea along the coast, we came to Myra. There the centurion found a ship sailing for Italy and put us on board. We sailed slowly for a number of days and arrived with difficulty off Cnidus. And as the wind did not allow us to go farther, we sailed under the lee of Crete. Coasting along it with difficulty, we came to a place called Fair Havens. Since much time had passed and the voyage was now dangerous, because even the fast was already over, Paul advised them, saying, Sirs, I perceive that this trip will be with injury and much loss, not only loss of cargo in the ship, but also of our lives. But the centurion paid more attention to the pilot and to the owner of the ship than to what Paul said. And because the harbor was not suitable to spend winter, the majority decided to put out to sea from there on the chance that somehow they could reach Phoenix, a harbor. Now, when the south wind blew gently, supposing that they had obtained what they needed, they pulled up the anchor and sailed. You guys feeling encouraged? Anybody know what a lee is? What's a lee? Don't know? You know what? This isn't really encouraging. Do you think maybe God's word isn't that helpful when we're having a hard time? No? Maybe we just need to keep reading? I mean, this is all about sailing. I'm not sure where it's going, but all right, we'll keep reading and we'll see what happens, all right? Remind me, tell me if there's something scary that comes up. All right, so they're about to sail again. Let's see. But soon, a tempestuous wind called the Northeaster struck down from the land. It's like a hurricane. And when the ship was caught and could not face the wind, we gave way to it and were driven along. Running under a small island called Cauda, we managed with difficulty to secure the ship's boat. After hoisting it up, they used supports to undergird the ship. Then, fearing they would run aground, they lowered the gear and thus were driven. Since we were violently storm-tossed, they began the next day to throw the cargo away. And on the third day, they threw the ship's tackle overboard with their own hands. When neither sun nor stars appeared for many days and no small tempest lay on us, all hope of our being saved was at last abandoned. Since they had been without food for a long time, Paul stood up among them and said, "Men, you should have listened to me and not set sail from Crete. Yet now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For this very night there stood before me an angel of God to whom I belonged and whom I worship. And he said, 'Do not be afraid. Paul, you must stand before Caesar. And behold, God has granted you all those who sail with you. So take heart, be courageous," right? "Be courageous, for I have faith in God that it will be exactly as I've been told. But we must run aground on some island." When the 14th night had come, we were being driven across the sea. About midnight, the sailors suspected they were nearing land. So they took a sounding and found 20 fathoms. A fathom is if you were to hold a piece of rope. That would be one fathom. So first time they take is 20 fathoms. And then it's 15 fathoms. Fearing we might run on the rocks, they let down four anchors from the stern and prayed. And as the sailors were seeking to escape from the ship and had lowered the ship's boat into the sea under the pretense of laying anchors from the bow, Paul said to the centurions and soldiers, "Unless these men stay in this ship, you cannot be saved." Then the soldiers cut away the ropes of the ship's boat and let it go. As day was about to dawn, Paul urged them all, "Take some food," saying, "Today is the 14th day that you have continued in suspense and without food, having taken nothing. Therefore, I urge you to take some food, for it will give you strength." And when he said these things, he took bread, gave thanks to God in the presence of all. They were encouraged and ate, and when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship, throwing out the wheat and food, and it was day. They did not recognize the land, but noticed a beach. So they cast off the anchors, left them in the sea, and at the same time, loosened the ropes and rudders, hoisting the foresail, they made way for the beach, but they struck a reef. They ran the boat aground, the bow stuck and was immovable. The soldiers' plan was to kill the prisoners so no one would swim away and escape. But the centurion wanted to save Paul and kept them from doing that. He ordered everyone to jump overboard and make for the island. And so it was the rest on planks or on pieces of the ship, and so it was that all were brought safely to land. After we were brought safely through, we then learned that the island was called Malta. The native people showed us unusual kindness, for they kindled a fire and welcomed us all, because it had begun to rain and was cold. When Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and put them on the fire, a viper. Anybody know what a viper is? It's a snake. A viper came out because of the heat and fastened on Paul's hand. When the native people saw the creature hanging from his hand, they said to one another, "No doubt this man is a murderer. Though he's escaped the sea, justice has not allowed him to live." However, he shook off the snake into the fire and suffered no harm. That's the word of the Lord. So this is Paul's trip to Rome. Did he make it to Rome? Not yet. Was there anything scary that happened in that story? Shipwrecked? No? Who said no? Cooper? Nothing? You wouldn't be scared at all. So if your boat ran into a rock and you're being pummeled by waves, you're going to be cool and calm, right? Sure, sure. All right, good answer. Good answer. Laurel, what was scary? Dying? Yep. Did anybody die? No, they didn't, but it seemed like they were going to. Anything else scary? Colt? A snake? It fastened on his hand. What would you do if a snake fastened on your hand? I would scream. I would scream loud. I'm not scared to admit it. I would scream. Lydia? When the waves struck the boat and they just started breaking it, they had to find pieces of wood to swim on. Bobby? That was mine, man. They didn't eat for 14 days. 14 days. I don't know. I mean, like 14 minutes and I'm panicking, you know? Anybody gone 14 days without food? Anybody? I'm sure that'd be a neat story. Yeah, there's all kinds of things going on that are scary. And this reminds us that sometimes when we go through things that are scary in life, we can open up our Bibles and read what God has done with other people. And it may not be the same. Like, I'm not a very good sailor. I've only been on a boat a couple times in my life. But we can see how God is with his people. He's with Paul. It's not easy, but God is faithful and he's there. And that means that we can take courage when we're going through difficulties and hardships and whatever it is that God may have for us. And so here's our big idea for the day. Got the big idea on the screen? Our big idea: courage comes from knowing God and trusting who he is. Paul's pretty courageous in this passage, right? I mean, I probably would have just been, you know, running for my life. I would find some way to not get on that boat. I would be screaming if the snake bit me, all these things. But Paul, he keeps being courageous. He could have stopped a long time ago, but he keeps following the Lord, trial after trial after trial. Why does he do that? Well, courage, doing the right thing in the right time, being faithful to what God calls you to do. Courage comes from knowing God and trusting who he is. Sometimes we think, man, I need to get stronger. If I'm stronger, I'll be good. Maybe we think, I need more money. If I get more money, I don't need to trust God as much. There's all these other things that we try to find to have courage. Sometimes we just tell ourselves, hey, I'm brave, I'm big, I'm bad. Anybody ever do that? I'm sure there's some people. You just say, hey, I've got this. But real courage, it comes from knowing who God is. So we're going to look at this. Let's look at some of these things. First thing to see is that courage comes from knowing God. You know, a lot of times we tell people, hey, just trust God. Hey, it's hard, I know, but just trust God. And that may be true, but sometimes we just assume that people know who God is. Sometimes we just assume that they know what he's like. You know, if I were to come up to you and you've got your favorite toy, maybe your favorite toy, maybe it's your Wii. Any favorite toys over here? Luke? What's that? Nachos. Nachos. Nachos isn't a toy. Okay, but that's your favorite. And you've got your favorite meal and you're down there and what if I come up and I say, hey, can I borrow that for a little bit? If you don't know me, you're going to be like, no, you can't have my nachos. You might be sick. You're going to breathe on it and get it all nasty. I'm not going to trust you with my nachos. I was thinking when I was little, my favorite toy, it was a remote controlled car. And this thing, it was so fast. And we'd put, I'd put a block and then a board on it, and I'd jump it. And, you know, then I'd line up other cars and I'd get going. And it was just, it was super fast. It was super cool. You could turn and go all kinds this way and that way. It was my favorite toy. And I remember I was out there playing with it one day, and a neighbor came by, and he was younger than me. And he said, "Hey, can I play?" And he just kept asking and asking. I was like, "I don't know." And I finally said, "Okay, you can play with my car." And so he got it, and I could see, like, he was all excited and just didn't know what to do. And he got it, and he just floored it and drove it straight into the mailbox, the post of the mailbox. And I remember seeing my little car. It was just flying. It was going so fast. And I'm thinking, this isn't a good idea. And it goes straight, hits the mailbox, and I just saw it explode into pieces. It's like, no! You just broke my favorite car. I didn't trust him anymore. I'm not going to let him play with my car, right? If we don't know somebody, we're probably not going to trust them. We need to know who they are. You know, if somebody comes up on the street and says, "Hey, can I borrow $100? Are you going to give them $100? You're going to think they're going to pay you back? You have no idea. I think about when I first met Miss Amanda. I'm getting to know her. I'm like, wow, she's pretty cute. I kind of like her. Keep trying to talk to her, and she's like, "Who's this strange guy that keeps following me everywhere?" So if I had gone up to her the first day I met her and said, "Hey, will you marry me?" What would she have said? No, she would have knocked me out. And girls, if there's ever a guy that comes up on the first day, you meet him and says, "Hey, will you marry me?" You say, "No, you got to get to know them, right? You're not going to spend the rest of your life with somebody you don't even know." So you've got to know somebody to trust them. And this is one of the things that we see with Paul. It's somewhat implied in this passage, but we've seen him. He's come to know Jesus. He's been following Jesus. Jesus has been speaking to him, and Paul is doing what Jesus said. He's become obedient to him. He's what Jesus says defines who Paul is. Paul has trusted in Jesus as his Savior. He has seen Jesus provide for him over and over and over again. You know, sometimes we tell people, "Hey, just trust God." But sometimes we need to remind them who God is. Do you know God is perfect in his love? Because sometimes we experience, maybe we get in a boat and we're going out on an adventure, and then it doesn't go the way we think or hoped. And we can start to think, "Well, does God really love me?" Maybe you get in those storms and you start feeling like, "Well, if God loves me, and if he's really powerful, why doesn't he stop these things? He could have just made it end, right? He could have just stopped the storms on day one. So why did he allow it to go 14 days? We don't know, but God's in control, right? Was God in control of the storms on that sea? Was he in control of Paul's life? Is God loving? Does he love Paul? We got to remind ourselves that God is in complete control. He is perfectly holy in all that he does. I always tell people, if you try and fathom how big God is, how holy he is, just think about his power and his might. I can't remember all the stats on the weight of the earth, but it's like 10 times, you know, 10,000 pounds to the 25th power or something like that. And it's hurling through space at like 65,000 miles per hour. You just think, you know, our best baseball players may be able to pick up a little 1-pound ball and throw it 90 miles an hour for about 90 feet. That's the strongest people we know can do that. God just hurled the earth through the universe. He's so much greater, so much more powerful. And he's just as holy as he is powerful. We've got to remember that. When we go through hardships, we remember. We need to know who God is. We need to know what he's done for us. And so, you know, one of the problems is that when we have problems, we just focus on the problems, right? You know, a lot of times you start thinking about how hard math is. And you think, "Oh man, math is so hard. I'm never going to get through this." And so you just keep focusing on, "Man, math is so hard." and we forget how big God is. Hey, I need a volunteer. Who can be a volunteer? Luke, come on up here. All right. Can you stand up here? Yep, stand up here. Okay, can you be God for us? Okay, so God's powerful. Can you show us how powerful you are? Maybe show us some muscles. All right. God is powerful, right? God is all-knowing. Can you show us your all-knowing? That looks like the look of all-knowing. And you're bigger than me, so you're strong. So we're just going to magnify that by like 100. Maybe we'll magnify, show us some muscles, by like 1,000, a million, infinite. That's how much greater God is. So we'll just pretend Luke is being God, but God is so much bigger than this, right? He's so much more powerful. But a lot of times, you know, we get focused on the things that are going wrong. And we'll just say like all the things that go wrong are like on my phone, right? And so we just like, oh man, everything's so hard. Everything's so hard. Like there's nobody that cares about me. There's no way I'm gonna get out of this. I can't get past math. Meanwhile, God is over here, all powerful. Yes, you can go. Great job, buddy. Great job. We get so focused on our problems and we don't realize that God is here so much greater, so much more powerful. We never look up. We never look to who he is. We never look to be reminded. We just keep our heads buried, looking at our phone, looking at our problems. Oh, it's so hard. There's nobody there. We know God, and we know him through his word. We need to turn to his word to be reminded of his power, of his might, of his goodness, of his love, all of those things. Because we're going through life sometimes blinded because we're not taking time to look to who he is. We've got to look. He's there. We need to be reminded. We've got to know God. If we're gonna have courage, we need to know that God is with us. We need to know that God is strong. We need to know that God is loving. If you don't know those things, you're going to give up. You're going to quit. You're going to quit doing the things that he calls you to do. We need to rest in him. And we can't rest in him if we don't know what he's like. And so that means take some time to be with God. It means get in his word. Read your Bible before you read your phone. Read his word. Get it in your heart. Take it with you. Write a verse down. It's like, I'm going to take this with me. And when it gets hard, when I walk into math class and I don't know if I'm going to make it through, I'm going to remind myself, steadfast love of the Lord is forever. I'm going to remind myself of Lamentations 3. His mercies are new every day. Today is a day to experience his mercy. Today is a day to experience his love. Yes, there's hardships. Yes, there may be things that fall apart. But yes, he is faithful and I can depend on him. I'm going to rest in him. So we need to know God. If we're going to trust him, we need to know him. When we know him, we can trust him. That's the second thing. We can trust God. You know, whether it's the wind. I mean, there was some strong wind in this, right? There were storms, this northeaster. Never heard of that. Happens on the Mediterranean. It's like a hurricane going on. There's snakes, there's ships being broken. You couldn't even see the sun or the stars. But you can trust God. There's times in life where everything that we find comfortable, everything we find familiar, at some point lets us down. Couldn't even depend on the sun here. I mean, think about that. The sun. We get used to depending on the sun. The sun comes up. There's something right in the world. When the sun doesn't come up and we don't know what's going on, we can still trust God. You know, I think that the scariest thing, let me tell you what I think the scariest thing in life is. The unknown. When you just don't know what's going to happen. When you don't know, when it's, you show up on the first day of school and you just don't know if anybody is going to like you. You just don't know if you're going to have any friends there. The scariest thing is the unknown. You know, as we have this pandemic, it's the unknown. Sometimes it's like, I don't know if this is a big overreaction or is this the beginning of the apocalypse or maybe something in between. It's the unknown. It's the unknown. Am I going to lose my job or am I going to keep it? We're just not sure. Paul experienced a lot of unknowns. You may not be living in a boat. You may not be a prisoner being shipped from Jerusalem to Rome, but you have unknowns in your life, and you have to trust God with that. You have to rest in who he is and what he's done. This is where verse 25, he tells them to take courage. Take courage. Take heart. For I have faith in God that it will be exactly as I've been told. Right there, Paul is resting in God's word. God has spoken to Paul what he's going to do. You don't have to rely on an angel to come and tell you what to do. You have God's word right in front of you. We just need to read it. We need to know it. We need to trust him. Trust him in the unknowns. Trust him in the things that don't make sense. We need to trust him in his promises. You know, here in this chapter, this ship, they just start throwing stuff overboard, right? They're like, we're going to die. We're worried. We need to lighten this so our boat can make it through. And they're throwing the gear overboard. They throw the anchors overboard. Anchors are kind of important for a ship, aren't they? You know, an anchor, you throw it out there, and it's what holds the boat in place. For a ship, a lot of their trust would be in their anchor. They can be at sea, they can drop the anchor, and they're going to stay put. They're not going to get pushed and pulled this way and that way. But here we see that they have trusted in this anchor, and they are having to realize just how great God is. And they're saying, this thing that we have always trusted in is now useless to us. Just throw it over. And there's times in life where we see the things that we have trusted in has just become a useless anchor. It may help a boat at times, but it's not worth my ultimate trust. It's not worth my ultimate confidence. The only one we can really trust is God and God alone. And I think that's one of the things right now in our community, in our world, we see so many people having trusted in things that are letting them down. And they're fearful, they're panicking, they're worried, they're going after other people because their anchors have let them down. We've got to rest in Jesus. We've got to trust him. We say he's our Lord and Savior. Well, you got to live it out too. It's much easier to say, much harder to actually do. We've got to rest in him. Romans 8:28 says, we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God. All things work together for the good of those who love him. Yeah, I heard somebody say, this next slide, things get hard. And he said, you know, sometimes I start to panic, and my wife would say, we think all things work together for good. We think? Do we think? Is that what the scripture says? Next slide. We know all things work together for good. So let's try that. I'm going to say, we think all things work together for our good. And you're going to say, we know all things work together for our good. All right, let's try that. We think all things work together for our good. We know all things work together for our good. That's what the scripture says. We need to take our thoughts captive. We need to know. I don't understand what's going on in our world right now, but I'm going to rest in God. I'm going to trust him. I'm going to trust that he's got a good purpose for me. You rest in who he is. You've got to know. It's a great reminder. This guy, him and his wife would banter that back and forth. You know, one of them would be fearful and worrying and not knowing what to do. One would say, we think all things work together for our good. And the other would say, no, we know all things work together for our good. We need help being reminded of what God has done for us, right? I need people to speak truth into my life. I need my wife to set me straight sometimes. Sometimes I need my kids to set me straight. Say, Dad, you need to trust the Lord. We're not sure what to do here, but Jesus is good. He's our Savior. I'm like, yes, you're right. Remind me of that. Sometimes I need to remind my kids of that. Sometimes I need to remind my friends. Sometimes they need to remind me. That's why we're here as a church, is to point others to Jesus. This is why, you know, we want to do church as a family. We believe that when you read the New Testament, it's not just showing up to a building, you put in an hour and a half, and then you leave and you don't interact with anybody else. We believe church is a place that you know one another and they know you. And when you're going through the storms of life, you've got people that can encourage you, saying, hey, one foot in front of the next. Keep trusting in Jesus. Remember what he's done for you. Because in Jesus, we know that all things are working together for our good. God sent his son into the world to die for us, to take the penalty that was on us because of our sin. That means, you know, we sing a song, sin's grip has lost its hold on me. Sin's grip has lost its hold on you. If you're trusting in Jesus, death has no power over you. The scariest thing, the greatest unknown, what comes after death? Well, we know it's salvation. And so that means as we trust in Jesus, as we give up trusting in the anchors of this world and trust in the true anchor, in Jesus Christ, we have hope, we have courage, we can rest, we can find rest even when you're in the midst of a storm. But you've got to give up trusting in all those other things and really trust and depend on Jesus. A lot of times we get fearful because we don't want to let go of the things that God is trying to get us to let go of. We want to hold on to those anchors. And sometimes those anchors are the very things that are weighing us down. Sometimes we'd rather drown with our anchor than let it go and trust in Jesus with all of our heart. You can't hold on to Jesus and hold on to an anchor. You've got to let go of something. Are you going to let go of Jesus or are you going to let go of the anchor? We're called to surrender ourselves, not just part of our lives, not just give some tokens to God. We're called to give our whole life. It's so easy to just throw some spare change at God and say, hey, God, I did this. Take care of me. God says, trust him with your whole life. Trust him with everything that you are. Doesn't promise it's going to be easy, but he does promise to be with us. Promises to give us hope. Promises to give us strength. And we see that happening with Paul. We see that happening in his life. And let me also say this. We see very clearly in this passage, we're often about the goal, right? Hey, I'm going from Jerusalem to Rome. Just let me get there. God's got other plans. For God, it's more about the process, right? 14 days at sea. Why, God? Couldn't we have just gotten a direct route? You know, great sailboat, record time, no storms, no problems, safe and easy. We're all about the goal. God is about the process. And we are all in a process of being shaped and molded by him. But we've got to humble ourselves. We've got to humble our hearts. We've got to come to him and say, God, what is your will for me? We don't double down, tighten our fist and say, God, it's my way or the highway. God is not your servant. You are the servant. He's going to call you to go places. He's going to call you to trust him. Some of those are going to be safe and fun rides. Some of those are going to be challenging. But you've got to trust in him and trust in him for all of that. We see that here. We can trust God. Trust him in the process of walking with him. We just want to get to the destination. We just want to get to the final point. But God is doing something in us. And it's going to challenge. When our idols are safety, when our idols are we want to look great and glorious, when our idols are ease and comfort, we're going to feel broken when we don't get our way. But just remember, that's God doing something in your life. That's God working in your heart, helping you to see more of who he is. You know, so as we go through those things, we don't do nothing, right? We need to trust God. We need to act. Paul didn't just sit back and say, hey, I'm trusting God. I'm not going to do anything, right? He did stuff. He made good plans. He also didn't hurt other people. If we're trusting God, we're not going to, you know, some of these guys are like, hey, this big ship, it isn't looking good, so we're going to steal this little ship and we're going to get away. I think all these other people are going to die, but we're going to get away. Like, they're just thinking about themselves. They're not caring about anybody else. When we're trusting God, we're trusting him for us, and we're willing to do good to our neighbors. We're willing to love them, even if it's hard. And we do what God wants, right? When we're trusting God, it means we do what he wants. A lot of times we say we're trusting God, and then we go out, we can hurt others. Trusting God, but I'm only thinking about myself. Part of being courageous is that we do the right thing and we do it in the right way. Got to remember to do that. We rest in Him. We trust in who He is. You know, I was thinking about this as we talk about trusting God and knowing who He is. You know, I remembered when I was little, and we had a big tree house out back. And we had it for a few years, and then we decided it was, me and my sister, we had just gotten bigger, and we couldn't go in it anymore, so we tore it down, and we would just take all the wood and lumber, and we would make our little forts throughout our backyard. And we did that, and I built this fort, and it kind of had a roof on it, and I climbed up on it. My sister and some others were trying to figure out, they couldn't climb up there, but I could climb up and get on top. And so I climbed up on top, and I was up there, and I was dancing, because I was like, you guys can't come up here. And you guys know what started to happen to my homemade fort. What do you think happened? It fell. It sure did. I'm on top of this little house-like thing, and I'm dancing, doing my victory dance, saying, you guys can't get up here. And all of a sudden, it starts to shake, and it starts to fall, and it just crumbled. And I came down. Luckily, I was on the top, so it just kind of, I rode it down. And it was pretty scary when I started feeling that shaking. And you know what? We have times in life where we feel shaken. Maybe we feel like we're in that boat. We're sailing, and we're just in the midst of a storm. But God is good. And God is good all the time. And when we seek Him and look to Him, we find every reason to have comfort, to have direction, to have confidence. When we're in the middle of the storm, when we're hurting and aching, we know God. We know He's with us. And so I want to encourage you, wherever you're at, whatever season of life, the solution is always just look to Jesus. Look to Him with all your heart. Not just a little, but give Him everything. I've never heard anybody say, you know, I really regret trusting God with all my heart in that season of life. I've never heard anybody say that. I've heard a lot of people say, you know what? I wasn't really trusting in God, and it got really bad. Trust Him with all your heart. Lean on Him. He is an anchor for the soul. He is a rock. It's not that homemade treehouse that's rotten and falling apart. He is a rock. He's a steady anchor. Let's pray. Jesus, we just thank You so much for Your work in our lives. Thank You that we can know You. God, thank You that You demonstrated Your love to us, not by giving us ease in life, but sending Your own Son to die in our place. And God, if You didn't spare Your Son, You're not going to spare anything else. You're not going to do us harm. God, You're going to do us good. And so we take hope in that. We want to rest in who You are, rest in what You've done for us, and just thank You that in Jesus, we can be forgiven for all of our failings, where we haven't trusted You, where we've turned aside and gone our own way, where maybe we have held on to anchors and just been taken under the water by them. God, thank You that because of Jesus, because of His death, we can come back to You. We can be forgiven and we can experience newness of life. We thank You for that. And God, we just pray that You would give us courage. I pray for everybody in here. I pray for the little kids, the big kids, everybody in between. We all have things we have to rest in You. And God, I just pray You give us courage, give us strength. Help us to come together with others where we can share our weakness, where we can share where we feel like we just don't have strength to hold on any longer. And we can hear people say, keep hanging on. We can hear people pray for us, hug us, and lift us up. We want to be that kind of church, God. We thank You for Your word that is shaping us and guiding us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.